All right, our next speaker is Ms. Kristen Noble. She has evaluated reproductive health training programs since 1998, both domestically and abroad. Her key interest is the practical application of evaluation research to improve the effectiveness of programs seeking to increase access to care.
Hello, again, I'm Kristen Noble, and I'm an independent evaluation consultant. I'll be sharing with you the preliminary evaluation results from a unique program in southern states that trains health and social service providers how to offer non-biased options counseling to clients with an unintended pregnancy and how to give accurate information and referrals for abortion care if the client decides to pursue that option. The organization that runs this training program is PROVIDE Incorporated. PROVIDE's mission is to help ensure that all women in the United States have access to safe abortion care. And by way of disclosure, I do have a financial relationship with PROVIDE. I've been serving as an evaluation consultant for this organization since 2010 and have evaluated several of their programs. So here's why abortions training focuses on abortion referrals specifically. Social service providers often receive training in how to connect clients with prenatal care or adoption, but they very rarely receive any training in how to refer for or even talk with their clients about abortion. Since one out of every five pregnancies in the United States ends in abortion, there's a major gap between what clients commonly experience and what providers feel equipped to handle. In post-training interviews, providers have expressed to us how much they really felt at a loss to be able to help their clients with this situation before they attended this training. One talked about how she used to move a client into prenatal care immediately just to avoid any discussion of abortion. One recalled asking her client, "Why are you coming to me about this?" Because of a lack of information, providers would turn to the internet, they would send their clients to the library to get information, or just give them a sheet with a paper with the clinic name on it, but no real information about abortion. And as one provider recalled, you have to say, "I don't know, I don't have that information," and then there they are with no resources to fall back on. So providers themselves experience a lot of frustration, knowing that they're not really meeting their clients' needs in this situation, and as you can imagine, the clients themselves probably experience even more frustration. The referrals curriculum PROVIDE has developed offers providers a concrete referral model, counseling methods, a list of local and national resources, and other tools that they can use to make a quality referral for whatever options their clients request. The curriculum emphasizes empathy above all, professionalism, and a non-biased approach to client-centered care. Most providers already place a strong value on serving their clients. That's why they chose to do the work that they do. And this training helps them consider how they can maintain that emphasis on client-centered care, even when they're faced with issues that carry a lot of stigma or are difficult for them personally. And last and most importantly, the training does not ask providers to change their own values or feelings about abortion. Instead, it invites providers to clarify those values so that they can identify when their own values may differ from those of a client, and the training recognizes that providers have feelings too. It emphasizes the importance, though, of not letting those feelings interfere with helping a client meet her needs. To give you a sense of what this training approach looks like on the ground, I'm going to share with you an interview quote from a participant in South Carolina. She describes herself as Christian and pro-life, and she was pretty surprised when she first learned that this training had information about abortion. It was a mandatory training for her organization. But she left the training having had a very positive experience, and she felt that she would now be a better resource for her community. So in her own words, she describes the approach that was taken. She said, "The trainers were so good about taking us where we were and making that very clear, however they expressed it. They listened to what the participants had to say. They responded and were very warm. They made me feel comfortable that I could express any discomfort, that I could express myself and what I felt without turning anyone off. It was a very powerful tool." This participant, who could have potentially been alienated by content about abortion, was so satisfied with her training experience that when I offered her the gift certificate that we usually give people who allow us to interview them and give us feedback about the training, that we usually give them as a thank you for giving that feedback, she actually declined the gift certificate and asked that funding be put back into the program. Here's a quick visual on where Provide is conducting this work. Trainings so far have been conducted in Oklahoma, in West Virginia, in North and South Carolina, and in Kentucky. In 2015, trainings will also begin in Tennessee and Alabama. The evaluation results that we're sharing with you today come from all of the referral trainings that were conducted by this program through August of 2014, and that represents 40 trainings with a combined total of 500 participants. The systems Provide is working in vary by state. They're selected by local state teams, but they include domestic violence, substance abuse, Indian Health Services, Title X Health Services, Child and Family Services, and some others. To evaluate the trainings, we ask trainees to complete an anonymous survey, both before and after their training session. These pre and post surveys are then matched using a unique numerical code that's actually generated by the trainees, and then we match the two together. At around 2 months after the training, I interview participants who've indicated on a separate form that they're willing to give feedback about their training experience and their practice since the training. So the quantitative results that we've seen from these pre and post surveys have tracked very closely with what we've been hearing in interviews about the high acceptability of these trainings. Over 80% of participants say that they're very satisfied with every aspect of the training that we look at, from the information provided by the presenters, to the teaching methods and activities, to the way that topics are addressed. We include 7 different attitudinal questions on the survey. The items that have showed the most movement so far are trainees' confidence in their ability to refer a client with an unintended pregnancy to pregnancy termination if she requests it, trainees' confidence in their ability to counsel a client with an unintended pregnancy on all her options, and the perception that abortion is a medically safe procedure. And as you can see, all of these three measures started off somewhat low, but ended up at around 95% agree by post-test. We also looked at changes in practice intentions. In our pretest, we ask participants to indicate with checkboxes what things they have usually done in the past when they're counseling a client with an unintended pregnancy who's considering abortion. And then at post-test, we ask participants what they intend to do in the future when they encounter this situation. And then we compare the two to get a pre-post. We do see an overall increase in the percentage of participants who intend to present all pregnancy options without judgment or bias, and some decreases in the percentage who plan to actively discourage the client from having an abortion. But the most dramatic changes are around the intention to provide a referral for abortion if the client requests it, and the intention to follow up with the client after making a referral, which is a point that's very strongly emphasized by the curriculum as an important component of a quality referral. Of those trainees who indicated in the pretest that they had not previously referred for abortion, 62% planned to do so in the future by post-test. So about 2 in 3 of those who hadn't previously referred plan to do so in the future. We created a categorical variable to indicate among those who previously didn't refer, who among this group switched to being willing to offer abortion referrals in the future, and who did not. And we found two things that surprised us. The first was that intended practice change, or switching as we've been calling it, was so stable across states and across the different systems in which we were working that those broader factors were not statistically significant predictors of whether someone intended to change their practice. The only factor that was, and it was very strongly correlated at the p is less than 0.001 level, was an individual's satisfaction with the training itself. And you can see that trend very clearly in these graphs here. As satisfaction with the training experience goes up, we see higher percentages of people changing their practice intentions. The follow-up interviews that we've conducted have highlighted both a number of individual level and institution-wide changes that these trainings have inspired. In terms of individual practice change, we've already interviewed several trainees who have had an opportunity to counsel the woman with an unintended pregnancy and put their new skills to use. This trainee, for example, provided an abortion referral to a young college student. And because she did do the follow-up afterwards, she learned that the patient was really happy to be back in school. And so this is a quote from that provider. And she said, she didn't know, she being the client, didn't even know that she could even get this kind of support from us or from anyone else. Provider is also beginning to see some impact at an institutional level. In many cases, this training is the first conversation that coworkers at an organization have had with one another about their referral policies or practices for unintended pregnancy. Many sites have gone on to since make changes to those policies and practices, whether by changing the checkboxes on a referral form to reflect all pregnancy options or incorporating information about abortion into their site's volunteer handbook, clarifying an institutional, a pre-existing institutional policy to provide clients with information on all pregnancy options, or just working out the logistical details of how to make sure a client with an unintended pregnancy gets referred within that organization to someone who can provide her with full counseling and referral support. So in summary, this referrals training initiative has had some very positive early results, which have been consistent across states and across systems. Its unique approach may have some useful lessons for other training programs that seek to address access to care or other stigmatized issues. And further down the road, we would like to find some ways to assess the impact of this program on the patients and clients themselves. But for now, we feel confident that these trainings have at least increased the knowledge and confidence of several hundred professionals working in states where abortion access and healthcare access in general is a common challenge. So thank you.
Any burning questions before we move on?
I'll start with the lady to the left here against the wall standing up.
I just wanted to know very important.
Thank you.
That is a very big, important and very big topic, and because we only have a certain amount of time with the organizations, we don't emphasize contraception very much. That'd be something that is addressed, we would encourage a provider to address in their follow-up meeting, but we don't provide a lot of content on contraception itself. And they more often have access to get that through other sources. Whereas our training is something that really isn't offered in any other form anywhere else.
I'll take one more in the back.
Yes, and we have NANAF resources in the resource list that we give out that covers both local and national resources.
Okay. Thank you.